I'm going to start in kind of a strange place this morning from the book of Job. A little background. Job is this good and decent and upright man. And largely at God's direction, or certainly without God's intervention, Job's life is wrecked in every possible way. Largely for God to prove a bet with Satan that Job's life can be wrecked and Job will not renounce God. But after about 36 or 7 chapters of this wreckage, Job does in fact say, "What is up with this?" And to him, God answers, stunningly, with these words. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins, I will question you and you will declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understandings. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" And God goes on and on about this, upbraiding Job for about 4 chapters. "Who do you think you are? I'm the one that made the earth. I'm the one that made the cosmos. I'm in charge." Excuse me. Well, the inverse of this same sentiment, oddly enough, appears in the New Testament, a couple of different places. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows." It's really the same sentiment, much different tone. God is in charge. Have no anxiety. Excuse me, Ebola, ISIS, globally, not to mention the countless numbers of things that cause us anxiety about the nature of our life, the people within it, our stage of life, the next step. I can't tell you to have no anxiety because I don't know how. But what I can try to do today, in light of both the two sides of this same coin, the words to Job from the Lord and the words to the disciples from Jesus, to put anxiety in perspective. Anxiety in perspective. I think that beneath the conversation, I guess I should say the lecture Job gets from God, is the idea that God is in fact the creator of all things, and that may give anxiety some perspective. All of science knows mostly what it doesn't yet know, especially when it comes to matters of creation and cosmos. I think the most fascinating and in some ways disturbing and puzzling things I ever learned as a school-age person was what a light year was. A light year is not a unit of time, it's a unit of distance, which is stunning. Light travels 186,000 miles a second, and it takes a year of light to travel a light year. And the closest star we have is 4 light years away, and that's pretty close. The limits of what we can readily experience with regard to God's creation and cosmos, sort of the outer limits of our solar system, which is sort of a half-sized, who knows where, group of smallish rocks revolving around a kind of lukewarm star in the middle of infinity that God presumably created, and about which we have almost, comparatively, no knowledge whatsoever. Where were you when I created? Well, and, you know, even dialing it back to what we can experience, I mean, there is the ocean. There is Yosemite. There is the Cap Rock at sunrise. There is the Grand Canyon. And I wonder, a little bit of time and a whole lot of water, and God's infinite ability to continue to create and recreate puts things in perspective. Hey, for all we know, the Grand Canyon's only half done. Anxiety in perspective relative to the cosmos, for God is all powerful in God's creation. In light of what Jesus says to his disciples, he's apparently all aware, too. There's a level of awareness about that. Even the hairs on your head are numbered, which, of course, change all the time. I mean, really? Jesus says God is that much aware of who you are, what you're about, and what you're capable of doing. And we are capable of great things. They gave out the Nobel Prizes again this week. And the level of achievement and courage that singular human beings are capable of doing is, once again, remarkable. And yet, in perspective, no more remarkable than the way we relate to one another in helpful ways, for example, the way we tend and care and receive love from one another. And yet, even our knowledge is limited. I think it's interesting that Jesus uses the metaphor of the bird. All literature and mythology seems to suggest that one of the first things human beings wondered about how to get done was to fly like the birds. Birds were created before humans were in the Genesis order of things. And it seems that the first thing we want to learn how to do is fly. Well, it took us a while, from the creation to 1910, 12, something like that, when the Wright brothers first flew a distance. By the way, the distance of that first flight was actually shorter than the wingspan of a jumbo jet. I think that's interesting. Once we figured it out, we figured it out. You know, I mean, it's just 25 years after the first flight, we are using airplanes in combat in World War II, among other things. Stunning. My grandmother, born in 1905, was witness to the first flight, and also just 65 years later, a man on the moon. Once we figured this out, we get it. To which God, I think, might wryly smile and say, "You are pretty smart. I gave you that brain. I gave you the understanding of aerodynamics and what to do with the leading edge of a wing and Bernoulli's principle and all of that. Have you figured out the hummingbird yet?" Work in progress, anxiety in perspective. Maybe the Grand Canyon's only half done. Have you figured out the hummingbird? Which I think inevitably draws us to just one place, and that is to the moment we have, to this day. We are part of a human race in an infinitesimally complicated universe and much larger plan by the Lord High God. But we do have today. In some ways, the conclusion is no more complicated than the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept what I cannot change, like redoing the Grand Canyon. The courage to change what I can, which means what can happen in this day that I can contribute to for the better. There are, in fact, new things to learn. One of the best ways to combat depression is to learn something. There are people in need where we can share some of our time, maybe some of our charitable giving. We can extend a hand to someone in need. Today, we can do this. And we can spend time in the company of people who love us. There are things to learn. There are people in need. There are people who love us. Anxiety in perspective. A 91-year-old veteran of combat in World War II, served in the Navy in the Pacific, was walking through the Capitol hallways in Washington, D.C., looking at the architecture, the paintings, the statues, the pretense, the view, the architecture. And he was heard to say, "When God does it, this'll go up like all the rest of it." When God does it, And God will do what God will do. The end of the age, the cosmos, the eschaton, Armageddon, whatever you want to call it. Maybe it'll happen like we think. Maybe it'll happen like we fear. Maybe it'll happen when he gets done with the Grand Canyon. Maybe it'll happen when the geniuses from Lockheed figure out the hummingbird. Maybe it'll happen a week from Tuesday. I don't know. But like Job was given to understand and the disciples were told, God is in charge of the cosmos. You are in charge of today. There are things to learn. People in need. There are people who love us today. Anxiety in perspective. Amen.